Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today.
I believe that the Holy Spirit goes before and prepares the way for the conversation. So it's not what we do right or wrong, or how we, you know, are we as confident or whatever. It's not about us. And we may only plant the seed. We may do the watering. We may never see the harvest.
Yeah.
But we believe and trust that, as you said, God has this. And our efforts, no matter how halting or how stuttery, I just believe God uses and is so happy and proud, in a sense, when we step forward and begin to share our testimony, share our story, or ask a question.
But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministry sponsors who help support the mission to unite the body of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission with love. A big shout out to Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment for our gospel events. Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained. And Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus. If you or your organization are interested in becoming a CPM sponsor, you can find out more information on our website at christinapereira.org. Do you have a loved one special occasion coming up and don't know what to get them? Well, now you can sponsor an episode of Revealing Jesus in their name. And you can give them a special dedication message read on air. It makes a great gift. To find out more information, just go to christinapereira.org/podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. I am your host, Christina, and I'm so excited to have you with me here today. I have an amazing leader in the body of Christ with me here today. She is a doctor, and she works at the Perkins School of Theology, and she has written an incredible book called Models of Evangelism, which has been hallmarked as a landmark contribution to the literature on evangelism. I have with me here today Priscilla Pope Levison. Priscilla, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Christina. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you with me. I met your lovely husband, and he said, you've got to interview my wife. And I said, okay.
Well, I would return the favor to him as well, so, and have done. But I'm grateful for his advocacy and support.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited. You know, he was telling me all about your life and how you live at the college with all of the students. And I thought, wow, that's so brave. And it's so wonderful.
Yes, except for, as I was telling you just before we went on, noise above us at 20 till 1 this morning, and then woke up and, well, I didn't take a shower because the steam is broken. So for your listeners, Jack and I live on the campus of Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, in a residential commons with 180 undergraduates. And we have been there. This is our third academic year to be in the dorm, and we love it. We have gotten to know so many amazing young people who are, you know, walking into life, planning for what their future might be. And it's a real pivot point for them. And we feel incredibly honored to be there for them. You know, as they make life decisions. And it's been a lot of fun, but it is sometimes a little tiring.
Well, I think that's amazing, because right now God is bringing together the generations And the older ones are imparting wisdom, and the younger ones are imparting zeal and energy.
Yes, yes, and enthusiasm.
So I absolutely love that. I love that. Well, since this is revealing Jesus, how did you meet our beautiful Savior Jesus?
Well, I wish I had so many people I think wish they had the dramatic story, but I was raised in the church, in the United Methodist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was active, through youth group. But it wasn't until I was a junior in college, I was studying and completed my degree in music education. I wanted to be an elementary music teacher. And I realized through some Christians that I had met on campus that I knew God, but I didn't know God intimately. Mm-hmm. And so one night I was in my dorm room, junior in college, and I got down on my knees and I didn't have a formula to say, and I'm very glad I didn't because it was very heartfelt. And the next day I felt called to ministry. And so I completed my Bachelor of Music and then headed to seminary. But it's changed my life. Absolutely. I have dedicated every day to serving God. And then shortly after I arrived in seminary, met Jack, who was doing his PhD. And he was the first Christian I ever dated. And it's just been an amazing partnership, love affair to serve God together. So yeah, that's my story.
I love that. You know, and for those of you listening out there who don't have those dramatic conversion moments, it's okay. That's what I love about Revealing Jesus, this show, because so many people come on here and they have different experiences, but it's with the same God and he moves differently with all of us.
Very much so.
And I love that I get to hear your story and someone else's story and someone else's story. But through all of it, we see a common thread of his character, of his goodness, of his heart. It's all the same. And
we have a student who he's just so on fire to want to learn more and study the Bible. And he just likes to be around us. And one day Jack asked him, how did you come to this place of loving God? And he said, I just started reading the Bible in high school and didn't really have a church background. And then when he came to campus, thankfully, we were in the dorm, in his dorm, but he's also sought out other, Christians. And it just very different as to your point, it's a very different story from mine and from Jack's, who was also raised in the church. And yet God has revealed God's self to Ethan and he's a sponge. We just love hanging around him.
I love that. I love that so much. I mean, what better way to get saved than with the word of God?
Right.
I mean, really?
Right. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. The word of God made flesh.
Yes.
So good. Well, I've loved reading through your book, Models of Evangelism. Now, you really broke this down into different ways that we can evangelize. So personal, as a small group, through visitation, church growth, prophetic, revival, media. There's so many different ways. And, right now, if you look at my ministry, and what we're doing here, it's fulfilling the Great Commission with unity and love. And we can evangelize in all of these different ways. And so I love this because you don't have to have a media ministry. You don't have to even be in prophetic ministry, although it's awesome. But you can do it as a small group. You can do it personally. This is for everybody. And we need everybody.
Right. And that's why I wrote the book the way I did, because I know evangelism is a tough word for a lot of people, and it's scary. They're fearful, and many feel like, I can't do this. This is for the tele-evangelists or the big evangelists that we all know. Mm-hmm. And so this came out of my teaching of evangelism for many decades. And what I found is that my students really appreciated the practical, because most of them were going into ministry and ministers have so much to do already, and then they have to do evangelism. And so what happens is it kind of trickles down to the bottom and it doesn't happen. And I wanted to debunk the idea that there's one way to do evangelism or you have to have a particular personality type. You have to be charismatic. Or, you know, you have to have a big personality. And that's just not true. I think those are barriers that we put up because we maybe don't want to do this. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that by reading the book, people will see themselves or their church in one particular model or a combination. But it takes away the thought that there's only one way to do evangelism. That's my hope.
Yeah, that's so good. And you know what? I'm so excited to hear you say that. My own story. I was 15 years old. I grew up in a Baptist church. And my youth group used to go out on evangelistic missions.
Okay.
And I had such a heart. I would go with them and I was terrified to say anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, what if I tell them the wrong thing? What if I don't have the answers?
Right, right.
And I tell you what God has done in my life from somebody who was terrified to talk to anybody. And now.
And look at your media ministry, your media evangelism. Yes.
Oh my gosh. You know, he took me to school and he was like, honey, I got it. Mm. He remembered that desire of my heart when I was 15 years old. Wow. Long after I'd forgotten.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so I just want to say, if you have that desire in your heart, God knows, and he's going to make a way for you to fulfill that. Mm-hmm. And he's with you. He's with you.
And to what you said about people, or you didn't feel like you had the words to say, or you might get it wrong. I just don't believe that's, first of all, you can always go back and apologize and say, you know, I said something that I want to reframe. And isn't that a great way to more discussion? But I believe that the Holy Spirit goes before and prepares the way for the conversation. So it's not what we do right or wrong, or how we, you know, are we as confident or whatever? It's not about us. And we may only plant the seed. We may do the watering. We may never see the harvest,
yeah.
But we believe and trust that, as you said, God has this. And our efforts, no matter how halting or how stuttery, I just believe God uses and is so happy and proud in a sense when we step forward and begin to share our testimony, share our story, or ask a question. You know, how are you doing? Is there anything I can help you with? This is my God-given strength to come alongside you.
Mm-hmm. And that's beautiful. I love that you mentioned that. I often tell people, we always have something to give. We always have a testimony. And just like you shared your testimony, you had something to give. And, you know, I always tell people, sometimes we make it so much about our words when our actions can be used as evangelism as well. Yeah. A hug, a smile on your face.
Yeah.
There's just so many things. Like, people are so hungry. Like, have you ever just walked down the street and you smile at people? Some people will look away. Some people will smile back. Some people are like, what? You know, God uses it all.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Well, let's break down some of these ways that we can evangelize. Let's talk about the personal first. Talk about that.
Okay. So that is exactly what it says. It is one person bringing the good news to another person. And I talk in there. So just for your listeners, each chapter follows the same pattern. I look at the biblical foundation of that model, the theological basis, the historical, particularly in the United States, how that has been utilized. And then I break it into the practical steps of how to live into this model. And the first one I do with personal is to raise your evangelistic temperature. And I borrowed that from someone else. Then, I mean, I'm a good academic. I footnote all my sources, but I love that because it begins with where we are, just as we want to approach people where they are. So it helps us be honest about where we are. Are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Are you ice cold? Most of us probably aren't number 10, but how can you just increase little by little? I'm really trying to help people lean gently into evangelism because, again, it can be so scary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my opinion, begin to pray for a particular person or for an opportunity, for an opening. And then when that happens, be ready with a word, a question, something to begin this conversation. So that's personal. It's very simple, but I believe it's really at the heart of so many of these models.
That's awesome. Can you give me a couple of questions people can ask?
Well, I think, you know, just an open-ended, is there a spiritual component to your life, especially if someone's struggling that doesn't name it as Christian? Again, we live with students of no faith and of a different faith, along with students who identify as Christian. And so we can't lead with, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? But, you know, is God at all a part of your life? Or how do you understand who God is? Or something like that. I love Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch story in the book of Acts, because he ends up there in kind of a supernatural way. And then he just asks questions, you know, do you understand what you're reading? There's a questions invite. They don't tell, they invite. And so in a way, the question is itself is important oftentimes to begin with, especially if you don't know this person well, or if you're wanting to edge into a faith component of the conversation. I think questions are really important.
Yeah, I love that so much, because it doesn't so much say, hey, I've got all the answers. It opens the door for a conversation.
Exactly. A lot of people in society and the culture are afraid, or they believe that Christians come on so strong, which I think sometimes it's an unfair stereotype, but questions disarm, you know, again, they're invitational.
All right. That's awesome. Let's talk about prophetic evangelism.
I was hoping you were going to go to small group.
A small group?
We'll come back to that. So prophetic, I really struggled with what to call that, because it's really the marriage between word and deed. And so thinking about prophets of old who often had words to critique society, to critique the religious community, and often did actions along with that. And so that's what I'm getting at prophetic is, you know, you mentioned before actions. Some Christians will fall 100% on action, and they'll falsely quote St. Francis of Assisi, who said, they say, he said, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words, which historians really don't think he said that. Plus, he was an active preacher, so he was using words. So some Christians want to bring the gospel only through actions and some only through words. And this is an attempt to bring them together in order to get at some of the deeper issues in our world, the gospel applied fully, not just spiritually, but also collectively. So that's what I'm getting at in prophetic evangelism.
So would you include like events and things like that, or would you include acts of service in that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And it could also be, and this is where some people get concerned about it, it could also be political action on behalf of what people believe is the gospel call. And of course, particularly in our day and age, that could really be divisive. And that's where it gets, you know, dicey. But thinking about how to bring the gospel holistically in word and deed, that's really what that model is trying to get at.
I love that. I love that. Well, let's go back to small group. You want to talk about that?
I do. Because for me, small group evangelism can really be a way forward for individuals who don't want to be in this alone because you're working with a partner, or for churches, and I should say for churches who maybe feel stuck in their, you know, things are going along the same way. The whole point of small group evangelism is to convene 8, 10, 12 people who are open to having conversations about faith, but who would not identify as Christians. And so why I'm excited about it is that we have been working with small groups in the dorm. We did it around Lent. We have the latte machine in our apartment, so we called it Lattes in Lent. And we've done it now 3 times. And our tagline is for people of faith, no faith, any faith. And we encourage honest to God conversations. We're very upfront that this is talking about God. So it's not like a bait and switch. Come for a latte and, oh, we're going to talk about God once you get there. Oh, surprise. And what's been amazing, Christina, is that people, these young people, we have self-identified atheists, we have strong Christians of all varieties, Catholic, all kinds of Protestants, people of other faiths, and we have honest conversations about God. Jack or I will do a brief teaching. This last Lent, we did the book of Jonah. First time we looked at the actions of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which really is applicable to other religions and so forth. And it's just been amazing that students have developed a trust in each other. And then we talk about all sorts of things. I believe it's evangelism because we are very upfront about our faith. We're very upfront about inviting them into a space to talk about God. And in the questions we ask, the comments we make, or other, you know, students who identify as Christian, they're hearing the gospel. And a small group evangelism, that's the purpose. You meet for the purpose of these kinds of conversations. It doesn't go on forever. You know, it has a beginning and an end, and then you multiply that group. And if people are fearful of evangelism, I highly recommend looking at small group evangelism as a way to kind of put your foot into this in a way that's safe. You're not alone. You're supported, and it doesn't go on forever.
Mm-hmm. Are you a new believer in Jesus and don't know where to start? First, let me say welcome to the family of God. It's so important to anchor yourself in the gospel and the finished work of Jesus. This powerful workbook includes foundational gospel truths to anchor your heart in new covenant reality, and interactive journaling prompts to begin your relationship with Jesus. This workbook includes teaching based on the Word of God. It will help you understand precisely why you need a Savior, what Jesus has done for you, your new creation life in Him, and how to have a relationship with Him. Journal through the pages to dive deep into the heart of God for you as His child, and increase your faith as you learn about our beautiful Savior. Be sure to pick up a copy of New Believer Workbook, Foundational Gospel Truths to Begin Your Relationship with Christ Jesus today. Links in the show notes, or you can pick up a copy at Amazon or ChristinaPereira.org/store. Well, and if you look at the way that Jesus spread the gospel, he would often send them out two by two.
You're absolutely right. Yes. Yes.
And so I love that. And I love that you have a space where they can sit down and share, because it's almost discipleship too.
It is, particularly for those who already identify as Christian. And, you know, it's a variation of small group evangelism. Ideally, you would have a group in which no one, in a sense, would identify as a Christian. So these models can be tweaked, but we've just really enjoyed it. And students continue to talk about the impact of lattes in Lent. And, you know, for those who identify as atheists, we continue to come alongside them. One of them was in our apartment last night. She feels very safe with us. And again, I believe we're planting seeds in her life. She had a very abusive, not physically, but kind of emotionally abusive experience in a very conservative church growing up. And now she wants nothing to do with it. Yeah. But she's there every week and she hangs around us. And I know she sees that Christianity doesn't have to be harmful. It shouldn't be harmful.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And to be honest with you, most of the atheists that I've met were at once believers and were severely hurt and disappointed.
Yes. And that's her story. Yeah. She prayed and prayed and prayed and never felt that God responded. But I'm so intrigued that she is the most faithful participant. She just never misses. And so what does that say? Mm-hmm. That says that there's still an avenue. There's still an opening Mm-hmm. And we're really trying to pour into that for as long as we know her. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I love.
Yep. And sometimes that's what evangelism looks like. And sometimes it's a quick, you know, thing. I think sometimes people feel disappointed when they go to, quote unquote, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And they don't realize that they're just planting a seed or they're just watering. And they feel disappointed and they're like, I can't do this. They didn't give their life to Jesus. I'm not meant to do this. But that's not the truth. The truth is that just like you said earlier, we have to come alongside people, whatever that looks like, whether it looks like you walking with her through an extended season. It may take 6 months, take a year. I don't know.
It will take a while.
Yeah. But we can't put caps on that and say, oh, well, if it didn't happen this one time, I'm not meant to evangelize, you know?
Yeah. And I think the more we can come without expectations, but simply, you know, we are one of the longstanding definitions of evangelism was created in the mid 20th century. And it's evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. And it was spoken by a man who came from Asia, which is in the context of many other religions. And I love that because there's not a hierarchy. There's not a, you know, I know something that you don't. It's a simple sharing.
Yeah.
It's a simple sharing of where to get food. And I was just hearing this morning in the devotion that I listened to, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. We're not going to withhold that bread until we hear this response. I mean, the whole point is that Jesus is open-handed. I am the bread of life. And evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. It can be so unassuming, simple, open-ended if we don't come with our expectations and our own agenda, but wanting this person pointing to Jesus. However that happens, and that's really, I want to be a witness in the line of John the Baptist, the Samaritan woman who pointed to Jesus for those who follow after. So.
And I love that because it takes all the pressure off of us. We're not trying to get people saved.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
That's hard because we want, you know, I want this dear student to eat again or to find this bread of life. But the harder we try, then it begins to seem forced and unnatural and almost a power game for us. You know, it's not about me.
Yeah. I love that. Sometimes people look at it as they see people as projects, or if they get this particular person saved, it's another notch in their belt.
Yes.
When really it's not the heart of God. The heart of God is just like you said, feeding them the bread of life. I always tell people, I love to feed people and I get to break off a piece of Jesus and feed people.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. It's really that simple.
So you like to cook?
I love to cook. Love to cook. In fact, I've gotten so many prophetic words about me baking bread and I do bake bread.
Oh,
I do. But I know that it was crazy. Man, when I first started this Revealing Jesus and I first started writing, I had this dream and we moved. We left our house and I moved to this incredible house on top of a mountain.
Mm.
And I could see these like panoramic views no matter where I was. But the thing that stood out to me most was the kitchen fully faced these panoramic views. And I said to the Lord, I said, I can't wait to cook. And so, you know, just like media ministry.
Oh.
Yeah. When this podcast right now, we're baking bread, man. And when I write, you know, when I break apart the word of God to reveal Jesus to people, I'm baking bread. When I'm at home with my family and I'm actually baking bread, I'm baking bread out of love to physically fill their bellies.
Right. Right. You know?
And it's the same as spiritual.
I want to underscore that. What I would call hospitality, wanting to feed, wanting to nurture through feeding. At the very end of the book, in the conclusion, I talk about 5 attributes of evangelism. If models scare you or whatever, I've broken it down into 5 attributes of what I call good evangelism. And the first one is hospitality. And what I'm seeing in the dorm is that we feed them every Sunday something. Last Sunday, it was a barbecue. The Sunday before, it was a mac and cheese bar, you know, with toppings and stuff. Students respond to that. And young people want to, I mean, it's true for any age, but you break down barriers when you come with food. And so I love what you do. And if the church is nothing else but hospitable, that would do so much to open up venues for conversation. Because Jack and I, our two adult kids, are in and out of a lot of churches without being welcomed. To be fed, oh my goodness. And it's no wonder that particularly young people don't want anything to do with the church, because it's never, in a sense, stepped into their world or invited them into, you know, their space. And young people, I mean, we all do. And what we're seeing is that young people respond to food. Mm-hmm. They love it.
They do. And, you know, what I love about ministry is I love doing ministry outside of the four walls of the church.
Yes.
I love staying outside, man. I'll go inside and I'll equip and I'll, you know, I'll like sort the believers to get out. So I'm just like a mama, get outside, man. Go play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, that's where we need to be. Just like you said, we need to be in their world. You know, yes, we're the light of the world. And if we run and we hide within our four walls of our buildings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
And it's been really good for us, even at our advanced age, to be out in the world. Because, you know, we've taught at Christian universities, we've taught in seminaries. So most of our ministry has been with other Christians. And so now, as we think eventually we're going to move out of the dorm, how can we position ourselves to be, I mean, it'll be very different because we won't have, you know, all these different kinds of people in our same building, but how can we position ourselves even in retirement to have the world around us? And that's really what one of these days we're going to want to consider.
Yeah. Well, I think that's amazing. For right now, you are exactly where you need to be.
And if you get cold showers and noise above you in the middle of the night.
I know. It's a mission field. It's a mission field.
There we have prayer partners praying for us, because it absolutely is. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I always tell people, you know, when I get back home from trips or whatever, I'm like, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Because as a, like, if you go out on evangelistic missions and things like that, a lot of times, like, you don't have hot food, you don't have hot showers.
Right.
Like, it's hard, you know? And I like hot showers and I like hot food. So, amen. Amen. Well, is there anything burning on your heart you'd like to say directly to our listeners today?
I would like to say that I know there's a lot of negative press about younger generations. And so we have a 32-year-old and a 28-year-old, and particularly our 28-year-old is very sensitive to these negative impressions that his generation doesn't work hard or they want this or that. And I hope that we don't harden, those of us who are in an older generation, don't harden our hearts to the younger generations, because they, like we did, are just trying to find their way in a world that has become even more scary. You know, we all know the dangers of technology, of phones in our face, though I'm seeing that in my generation as well, people who hardly lift their face up from their phone. But I hope we don't harden our hearts, because they are trying, like we did in a very different time, to find their way, who they are. My kids really want purpose in their life. How do we combine our work employment with purpose? And how do we find community? Questions that Jack and I asked when we were, you know, much younger and continue to ask. And so we have a heart for like 18 to 22 year olds kind of, and I hope that older generations won't write them off, because they're not just the future, they are the present. And the more churches, you talked about becoming intergenerational, the more churches can see themselves as intergenerational and bring the youth and the young adults into leadership and into activities now, I think the stronger the church will be going forward. So that's really on my heart. I love these students. You know, do they annoy us at times? Yes. Are they rude? I mean, do they clean up after themselves always? No. But they really have so much that we've learned from them, so much they want to learn from us. And I just hope there can be mutual understanding between young people and, you know, older generations. That's on my heart.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I hope so too. I think it's discipleship at its finest, you know?
It's passing the baton.
Raising up the next generation of leaders.
Yes.
I think if we look at them like that, I think we have an amazing opportunity to pour into them. But I love that you said that there's so much we can learn from them, you know, because everybody has something to give.
Yes.
You know, honor is powerful.
And without young people, I would not be able to keep up with technology.
Amen. Amen. I laugh because my husband's Gen X and I'm a millennial. And anytime he needs to fix his phone, guess who gets to do it?
Yes. Yes. And our kids get so frustrated with us. And I just try to tell them, you grew up in a world that was not ours. And it's hard to learn another culture, language, you know, the older you get. And we're trying. I mean, we do already a lot of platforms in order to communicate, but it just keeps changing so quickly.
I know. Well, even from this millennial, I know.
It's terrible.
So good. Well, we could pray for our listeners today that they can find, you know, the right way for them, how God has created them to help evangelize. Because the thing is God has created each of us differently to operate within these different spheres of evangelism. So what we need right now is to know where God has gifted us, where he's called us to. And he'll equip us there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would be happy to. So let us pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for this conversation, for the delight it is to sit down with a sister in Christ and to have conversation. And for all those who listen and hear what we've said, this is a meager offering, but we know that you will magnify our words, our hearts, into something beautiful. And more than anything, I pray that those listening will receive courage, will be bold to step into some way of faith sharing, however that feels right to them, so that they will bring you glory by this offering that they give to you. Holy Spirit, we pray for your leading. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your wisdom. And we pray for your passion that you have for everyone to love Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for praying that.
Oh. What fun. I wish I could come over and eat your bread.
I wish you could too. Well, I'm in Virginia, so if you're ever in Virginia, look me up and I'll make you some bread.
Okay.
Well, this has been so much fun. Yes. Well, I hope and I pray today's episode has blessed you. I will have links from today's podcast and resources in the show notes under Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira, wherever you get your podcast. There you'll find additional resources to connect with us and our special guest, Priscilla Pope Levison. Don't forget to pick up a copy of her book, Models of Evangelism. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.
Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my king, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him calling today, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you. You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you, and keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you, and we want to send you a free PDF copy of our New Believer Workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes or just text Jesus to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's Jesus, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.